I sit in a small exam room, almost trembling. What am I going to do if this goes badly? I know I won't come back, and I need this care. Finally, the door opens. He walks in, smiles at me, shakes my hand, asks if I have a preferred name. You can only imagine how relieved I felt.
It's the TMI Project Story Hour, a series of true stories created in our writing workshops by everyday unsung heroes. They all divulge the too much information parts we usually keep to ourselves for personal liberation, human connection, and freedom, both for themselves and those who listen. Before we get started, we just want to let you know that as the TMI implies, some content might be too much information for some listeners. And remember, your support keeps our content free and accessible to everyone who wants to listen. So if you like what you hear and you're able to chip in at tmiproject.org, thank you. Either way, we are glad you're listening. Now, here is your host, Rain Grayson.
Hi, I'm Rain, and today we're celebrating Katie. Katie is from the Deep South in Alabama. She wrote and performed her story as part of a collaboration with a nationwide healthcare organization to help train medical providers through the power of true storytelling. In lieu of case studies, Katie, along with 9 other storytellers, myself included, shared deeply personal stories about injustices they have faced. Injustices while accessing or trying to access care, all in an effort to improve the quality of care for others. There's a reason she chose to share her story to help train healthcare professionals, to help other trans folks like her receive adequate, unbiased, and fully informed healthcare, something transgender people are often denied.
And in other election-related news, Democratic gubernatorial candidate Brandon Presley said if he's elected this year, he would not work to reverse state laws placing restrictions on transgender Mississippians.
Doctors who provide gender-affirming care say some patients may leave Alabama if the law isn't overturned.
A bill that would ban gender-affirming treatment for minors has sparked outrage among the transgender community. Activists joined together at the Capitol today to protest against the REAP Act. 12 News, Richard.
As a trans man myself, I've had to spend countless appointments educating doctors about my own body. I recently asked a question about my reproductive health during a pap smear. Yes, trans guys need those too. And even my very kind and affirming gynecologist admitted to me that she wasn't well educated on trans bodies. She didn't know enough about how hormone replacement therapy affects the reproductive system to answer my questions. Katie's story is a great example of the ways healthcare professionals do and do not show up for trans folks when they need it most. If you would like to support storytellers like Katie in the fight for equitable healthcare, give them the gift of a story with a donation today at tmiproject.org/support. With your help, we can grow our Stories for Choice program and continue to amplify voices like Katie's. Now, here's Katie. This performance was held on Zoom for educators and healthcare providers nationwide.
My heart pounds rapidly as I open the door to my doctor's office. My anxiety increases as I see the waiting room is full of people. I know this place very well. I've been coming to this doctor for years already, but he and his staff have only known me as a man. I don't know what reactions I'll get now. I mean, they're professionals, right? They're adults, right? I sign simply with my last name and I take a seat, the only one available. I try to pretend to look at the TV on the wall, but I'm really scanning the room to see if anyone is looking at me. Do they know? I sit there anxiously, just hoping they don't call me back by my first name. I mean, this is Alabama. the Deep South, with a Baptist church on every corner. It's a beautiful state, lots of greenery, a mix of almost every tree, gorgeous wilderness, fairly balanced weather. I'm a July baby. Summers are nice and hot the way I like them. My dad's English and Irish side of the family has lived here since it was a territory. Mom's side, Irish and Cherokee, was moved by force to the area on the Trail of Tears, so we've been here for a while. I love Alabama with all my heart, but the conservative people here can be pretty judgmental and damning if you don't agree and conform to common cultural values. Not even 2 months ago, I had to go to the emergency room. I was wearing pink nail polish, a cute pink little floral dress. Makeup was done nicely, and my long brown hair is past my breasts. And yes, I have breasts. And the nurse calls me, "Sir." "Sir? What the fuck?" This was a blatant offense and meant to be so. So I left without any of the services that I needed that day. Everything I was taught as a child told me I was lost and going to hell. It's somewhere in Deuteronomy or Leviticus or something that it's an abomination for a man to wear women's clothes, you know, right along with stone your back talking kids to death, put women on their cycle out of the house for 7 days, and murder animals for mercy. But interestingly, Jesus himself never mentioned anything about LGBT people. He focused more on hypocrisy in the church. I guess that's why they stay away from the New Testament when condemning us. But these teachings influence almost all of Alabama society, including everyone I know and love. People I once knew before beginning my transition lost all respect for me. My life was not accepted in any sense of the word in my world, and I lost most everyone in my life. My friends, my family, what's left. Living in my truth for my own health and well-being costs me everything. But I can never regret it. Now, what heartache is this doctor and his staff going to give me? I can't walk out of this office today. I need to see him. It's my pulmonologist. I'm at a stage of COP where I can't just go without care. It could cost me my life. Time goes by so slowly. I still sit anxiously watching everyone around me.
No one seems to notice.
Thank God. They finally call me back. They only call out my last name. I was so relieved. This is just the beginning of my visit. I've still yet to see the doctor the first time as my true self, and remember, he knows me already. How is he going to react to my transition? I sit in a small exam room, almost trembling. What am I going to do if this goes badly? I know I won't come back, and I need this care. Finally, the door opens. He walks in, smiles at me, shakes my hand, asks if I have a preferred name. You can only imagine how relieved I felt. As soon as I'm affirmed by him and I see his willingness to respect me, I instantly feel safe. My trembling calms, my anxiety abates, and my heart begins to return to normal rhythm. Simultaneously, I'm also in shock. This wasn't the result I anticipated. I wasn't expecting to receive respect. My world had taught me not to have those expectations for someone like me. But all of his responses to me are more than a pleasant surprise. It is the relief of a lifetime. Since that first visit, neither he nor his staff have ever disrespected me, not one single time. In fact, this office, as well as my primary care clinic, have often been my sole support and refuge. They're the only places in my world that respect and affirm my identity, my only safe place. If I didn't have this support from my healthcare provider at this delicate time in my transition, I might not only forego healthcare altogether, but having no support on earth at all, I might have been far more likely to harm myself. But my doctor strengthened my faith in healthcare. His kindness strengthened my faith in humanity. This was no small gesture. Respecting my identity and personhood very well saved my life.
Katie, it's storytellers like you who bravely take the stage to share their truth, who give me hope for future generations, to let them know it's okay to be exactly who they are, no matter what obstacles they face. So thank you for sharing your story. I'm Rain Grayson, and this has been the TMI Project Story Hour. Again, if you'd like to support storytellers like Katie to help fight for reproductive justice with the power of truth, you can donate today at tmiproject.org/support. We are fueled by individual donations, and your contribution allows us to continue to give a voice in the fight for reproductive justice. The process of crafting and sharing stories like Katie's can change lives, and your donation has the power to do just that.
I just want to say that I'm so thankful, so grateful for this experience, for this opportunity to develop and share my story, because it is so empowering, and it's been even healing to be able to share my story with others, especially with physicians who will really be making the difference, because they're the ones seeing people, and maybe my story can help someone else.
If you like what we're doing, please subscribe, rate, and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. TMI Project is available to offer true storytelling workshops and performances for your school or workplace. To learn more or to support our work, you can find details about it all at tmiproject.org. This episode of the TMI Project Story Hour was produced in partnership with Radio Kingston. It was written, edited, and produced by me, Eva Tenuto, Blake File, and Rain Grayson. Our theme song is Secrets by Edison Woods. I'm Eva Tenuto, TMI Project's Executive Director. Our Operations and Programs Manager is Blake File. Our Organizational Administrator is Rain Grayson. Our Marketing and Digital Coordinator is Laura Marie Ruoco. Our Administrative Assistant is Riley Gibbons. Our graphic designer and webmaster is Lauren Gill. Our workshop leaders are Perla Iora, Haley Downs, Rain Grayson, Ray Lipkin, Dara Laurie, Micah, Julie Novak, Blake File, and me, Eva Tenuto. New episodes of the TMI Project Story Hour come out every Wednesday. To learn more and to find a special writing prompt so you can start telling your story, visit tmiproject.org/podcast.